podcast that brings you one guest, one question, one answer. Business insights in minutes, not hours, with your host, the small business and franchise expert, Gary Occhiogrosso.
Good morning and welcome to Mastermind Minutes. My name is Gary Occhiogrosso. I am the founder and managing partner of Franchise Growth Solutions, and you can learn about what we do by clicking the link in the bio here at the podcast. For those of you new to the broadcast, it's a real simple concept. Mastermind Minutes is a podcast where we have one guest, we ask one question, we get one expert answer, we do it in minutes, not hours. And of course, for those of you who want more information, you can always contact either our guest or the firm where they work, and you can get more information about what they do. And today, my guest is Grant Marks, who is a principal at the Riverside Company, which is a global investment firm focused on being one of the leading private capital options for investors, business owners, and employees at the smaller end of the middle market. Grant has over 12 years of experience in business development and relationship management, primarily responsible for new platform investment and add-on sourcing, thesis development, corporate strategy, and relationship building. Diverse industry experience, completing dozens of investments across numerous industry verticals and through various capital structures across the lower and middle market. Grant and the Riverside Company are active investors in the franchise industry, which is, you know, is kind of the basis of our program here. Grant, before we begin, first of all, welcome to the program. I appreciate you being on. It's been a long time coming. We've had a couple of schedules and reschedules and reschedules. Tell us what you've been doing. Tell us a little bit more about the Riverside Company, and then we'll get into our question.
Yeah, you bet, Gary. Well, first, thank you for having me on the program. Really excited to finally be catching up live, and happy to talk more about the franchising world, which is something that we're passionate about. But starting with Riverside, you hit it pretty well. We are really known as one of the largest global private equity firms partnering with family owners, entrepreneurs, and companies at what we call the smaller end of the middle market, which is really just a phrase for companies that are growing and scaling and in need of continued support, capital, and resources to be able to continue along that path. And you mentioned we're very, very active within the franchising space. It's been something that I've been involved with for all 12 years of my private equity investing career on both the franchisor and franchisee side. So personally, it's an area that I'm very, very interested in and take a lot of passion about. And Riverside has had a great experience in our firm's history, partnering with really, really strong franchise brands, probably most notably the Dwyer Group, now the Neighborly Organization. We've partnered with them on a couple of occasions. We have had great experience with other franchise brands in senior home care, children's services, promotional marketing, and facility maintenance. You know, it's an industry that we really love and have found great ways to partner with entrepreneurs in.
Mm-hmm. And that's great. And I can say that I remember when the transaction was done with Dwyer Group / Neighborly. We were actually at the IFE in New York in the Javits Center. I think that was 2018, if I recall. Might have been 2019. It was several years ago, a couple of years ago. And I remember the kind of the news was buzzing through the exhibit floor, and a lot of the franchisors were talking about it. And we were doing a seminar, if I remember correctly. So yeah. So okay. So with that as a backdrop, and that's a great lead into the question. I think, you know, now that we're emerging from the pandemic, what role do you see the Riverside Company and private equity in general? What role do you see companies such as that playing in the franchise industry? In terms of acquisitions or strategic partnerships, things of that nature?
Yeah, so the private equity industry has continued to take an active interest in the franchising space. And I think the reason behind that is going to be the same reason that you're going to see even more activity over the next, let's call it 3 to 5 years, from private equity investing into the space. Franchising as a whole is a growth-oriented industry. And, you know, private equity ultimately is interested in growth platforms. You know, it's also an entrepreneurial industry. It's an opportunity for folks to create, you know, real personal and family wealth. It's an opportunity to create jobs. And, you know, we ultimately are looking for businesses that are going to be able to continue to scale and grow. And right now it feels like franchising is really at this great inflection point where obviously the last 12, 18 months have been challenging in particular pockets of franchising where, you know, franchise concepts are really heavy, like in restaurant and certain retail concepts. But it feels like that is poised to return really, really quickly. It's, you know, I just think about my personal experience trying to get my one-year-old kid into a swim school, right? Or, you know, my wife and I are trying to get into a restaurant booked later tonight. It's hard, and that's a good thing because it means that people are out and returning, and there's going to be a really quick snap back to hopefully pre-pandemic levels. And I think that growth is what's going to fuel a lot of interest and activity in the space in the next couple of years.
I agree. One of the things that we've seen in our business, and we do franchise development of entrepreneurs who might have 1 or 2 or 3 units that are looking to franchise it. And of course, we represent companies who are already franchisors where we are exclusive representatives with respect to soliciting and vetting and recruiting new franchisees. Yep. I can tell you the back end of 2020 was an absolute terrific year for us. A lot of folks recognized opportunity. And although we represent and develop franchise concepts in many different spaces, but our primary sweet spot, if you will, is the restaurant space. Mm-hmm. And what folks recognized at the back end of 2020 was, hey, you know what? I can get a franchise, you know, locate in a second generation restaurant space that might have all the mechanicals built out, you know, the HVAC and the plumbing and all the expensive stuff, and fit it out to a franchise and do it for, you know, 30 or 40% less of the normal turnkey cost. Yep. Hell, I can borrow money at like 3%.
Really cheap rates. Yep.
Which I've been telling people, I don't think even my grandparents borrowed money at such a low rate. So they were able to secure money. It appeared, you know, unlike 08 and 09 when, you know, the banks were broke. Here it seemed like the banks are flush with cash. The Fed's pumping money into the economy. So for those people who were visionary, so to speak, or adventuresome and weren't hiding under the covers, you know, 2020 was a pretty good year, the back end. Now, 21, I will tell you, my company personally, and we're very grateful, is going to have a record year. And a lot of my clients are going to have a record year. So your assessment of, you know, this bounce back and what you're seeing is perfectly matched with what we're seeing here in the industry. As an investor, when the Riverside company and you go to look at acquiring a firm, a franchise company, what are maybe the 1, 2, 3 top things that you're looking for that's going to give you the confidence and comfort level to make an investment?
Yeah, it's a good question. So we look for concepts that are well-performing, hopefully growing. We look for concepts that ideally have built out some level of infrastructure so that they're ready to continue to grow and scale. But, you know, in reality, a lot of times what we are doing is helping to provide the resources to allow them to do that. You know, really what we look for is that the franchisees are happy, that the franchisees are making money, and that the franchisees want to continue to grow within the system. And so those are some of the key criteria. And there's some things that, you know, better than I, you can look for even just in your basic FDD document to kind of assess that, right? Are franchisees churning out? Do you have any history of litigation, et cetera? And so, you know, we look to some of those things as a indicator of the health of the system. And we'll partner with businesses that are, you know, smaller, emerging, just starting to franchise, really just kind of getting their sea legs under them, so that we can help avoid some of those potholes along the way. That's really how we're built, and what some of our history of investing in franchising allows us to do.
Mm-hmm. And that's great, because it, you know, well, two things I just want to say. First of all, for the audience, and a lot of our audience are folks interested in purchasing a franchise, not just franchisors. Yeah. But I guess what I want to underscore here is the things you just mentioned, that a company like the Riverside Company, okay, professional firm here looking to make an investment, the things you mentioned that you look at, I want to let my audience know, the folks who are looking to buy a franchise, those are the exact same things that a franchise buyer should be looking at. Are the franchisees happy? Are they making money? Does the company have the proper resources and infrastructure kind of already feathered into their organization so that they can grow? Are franchisees leaving? You know, are they dropping like flies? Is everybody looking to sell? It's just interesting to me that, you know, a company like the Riverside Company, the things you mentioned, what you're looking at are the same things that an individual should be looking at. And it just stands to reason for me, because I guess the sum total, or if you really want to understand a franchisor, start with the franchisees, because they're really going to tell the story of how that company is doing. I don't know if there's anything you want to add to that, but that's how we see it.
No, we completely agree. And so Riverside invests primarily in franchisors. Prior in my career, I had invested in a couple of different concepts as a multi-unit franchisee. I would say one of the best things that you can do if you're thinking about buying into a system, whether that's at the franchisee level or for us as, you know, a partner at the franchisor level, is to, you know, really test the health of the franchisee system. Call up, you know, a couple of folks and really prod them on how they feel about it. Do they feel like they have the right resources available to them? You know, are they feeling like they're generating the right amount of leads out of the system? You know, do they feel good about the brand direction and activity? Do they feel like they're getting help in, you know, the back end of the business the way that they had expected? So, we do the same thing as franchisor brand investors, as well as you should encourage your audience and many of your clients to check the franchise health.
Yep. And that's very wise. And I what I want to start to explore is maybe the other way around, but I just want to make a point that you mentioned, hey, call franchisees. And we always tell franchise buyers, you know, part of your due diligence process should be go and visit, go and call everyone in the FDD if you want, but certainly make sure you call enough of them where you're getting a good sample and a good base of information. But the interesting thing is that what we've learned, the folks in my company, myself, what we've learned over the years is before we take on a client, generally on the sales side, on the development side, there isn't really anyone to call. So we look at Yelp reviews, but on the sales side, before we'll take on a client to get involved in franchise sales, we'll call up franchisees, not, you know, we won't tell them who we are. We're like, hey, you know, this is Joe and we're thinking about buying a franchise and what can you tell me about it? Well, if the franchisees are validating negatively, if it's like, hey, you want to buy my place or, you know, we're not, I dread the day I met these people, then we know if we take them on as a client before we can actually sell, we have to clean up that mess, turn that culture around. And in some cases, we find that the franchisors are either unwilling or unable to do that. So we end up at a place where we don't take them on as a client. So calling franchisees is key. I guess where I want to round the conversation out is, so you mentioned what a company, a private equity company would be looking for in a franchisor. What should a franchisor be looking for in a private equity company? Because in many cases, in my opinion, correct me if I'm wrong, it should be more than just money.
Absolutely. Yeah. You hit the nail on the head. So the same thing that you would encourage your clients to do, checking franchisees, we encourage, you know, when we're thinking about partnering with a franchisor, we say, hey, here's our reference list. Call not just the 8, you know, platform franchisors that we've invested in and the 40 different brands that we've partnered with. Call everyone that Riverside has ever invested in, and really check us out. And you know, the good situations are ones that you'll obviously hear positively back on, but find out what a firm has done and how their reputation is when something doesn't exactly go, you know, straight up and to the right along the way, right? Mm-hmm. And so we encourage folks to really prod on that about us. And I think that's a good measure of you know, a firm's credibility is what do they do when things don't go exactly as planned? You know, in terms of what value we provide, that's obviously something that we take a lot of pride in and encourage people to dig in on and better understand. I mean, ultimately, I led off with this. We're paid at the end of the day to deliver growth. And so what we want to bring to our franchisor partners is how do we build a world-class franchise sales organization? How do we attack the white space that you know, is currently out there and unsold? How do we partner with the right, you know, broker community? How do we build the right internal franchise sales approach? How do we make sure we are recruiting the right types of franchisees that we think are going to be, you know, really strong and backable and delivering as we continue to grow? And what are we doing along the way to provide the right type of support? You know, be that in making sure that we're opening properly when we, you know, when we're opening a new territory, what are we doing to make sure that we're shortening the timeline from when you sell to when you open? And what are we doing once you're open to make sure that we're delivering the right leads to you, such that you're making money and growing? Mm-hmm. And those are the types of things that we do as investors, operationally, kind of getting involved in helping our entrepreneur partners, that we think, you know, ultimately is what differentiates us. We really, really know the franchise space. We know what to do to help drive growth, and we're looking for scenarios where we can bring that help and that value to our partners.
Mm-hmm. And that's great information, great advice, because very often I've seen franchisors, actually, I personally had the experience 20 years ago where we partnered up with, I don't want to say the wrong private equity company, but I guess beyond some of the nuts and bolts that you described, I would say that we partnered up with a company that just wasn't a good cultural fit. Yeah. And I think that if I could add anything to the list of things that you just mentioned, I would say that on both ends, the companies have to have, they have to be a cultural fit. Some franchise companies out there, some franchisors, you know, they have specific viewpoints with respect to how they want to build their companies, whether it's in a socially responsible way or how it impacts the environment or whatever. And I think that if a franchise company partners with a private equity company that's perhaps concerned, but doesn't put that in the top three things on their list, that there might be some clashes and vice versa. I think if a private equity firm is involved with a franchisor that doesn't see those things as not necessarily those particular things, but things that are important in their core values, that there could be rough spots along the way. The other thing I want to point out, and you mentioned it in your previous answer, and I want to highlight it, is, you know, you mentioned that it's a function also of how your company, how the Riverside company deals with the rough patches and the bumps in the road. And first of all, I want to commend you for actually even bringing that up, because in life and in transactions and in business, there are always rough patches in the world. And I always get very wary when people, you know, when people paint this picture of, you know, life is grand and everything is Shangri-La, I get very nervous about that because I know better. So, you know, I always want to say, hey, if I'm kind of in the foxhole fighting the fight with my partner, how are they going to respond and react when the going gets tough? And I think that's a very, very important piece to the equation, because that's really the working relationship. When things are going fine, it's easy to work with someone. It's when it gets tough. And I just wanted to emphasize that, because you bring it up. And I think sometimes, again, on the franchisor side, there's a certain level of excitement and, hey, we've got a P firm interested in us. And all of a sudden they stop thinking and they just start getting emotional and, hey, you know, it's just going to rocket to the moon. And they don't think about, you know, just all sides, all angles of the situation. So I just wanted to mention that. I guess to close this out, just if you can give us a little insight, what spaces in the franchise industry do you think have some strong upside and some immediate traction?
Yeah, so we're spending a lot of our time in the service economy within franchising. So we're looking at opportunities in the children's services space. We're looking at QSR and kind of some small format retail concepts. We are currently very active with a buildup within the home services space. So we're taking the success that we had with Dwyer and Neighborly, and we're starting small again and trying to replicate that by building up a new home services platform called Threshold Brands. We are currently pursuing opportunities within facility services. So think about, you know, commercial landscaping, snow removal, facility management, janitorial services. And then, you know, beyond that, we're looking at other kind of professional and B2B service categories. So, you know, we're looking at a lot of different opportunities across the franchising sector because of, you know, what you said at the head of the call. We think it's going to be an industry that's going to be rebounding really, really quickly, growing really well over the next, 5 to 10 years. And we want to be partners to folks along the way.
Great. Great. Well, we've been speaking with Grant Marks, who is a principal at the Riverside Company, which is a global investment firm focused on the franchising industry and playing a role in equity investment as well as strategic partnerships. Grant, if someone wants to know more about the Riverside Company or you, how should they connect?
Yeah, so you can learn more about Riverside at www.riversidecompany.com, all one word. You can find me on LinkedIn. You can always reach me on my cell, 646-285-3657. And happy to reach out and connect with any folks who want to chat.
Great. And we will we'll put the website and your LinkedIn connection in the bio of the podcast so people can just kind of click on it and get to you. I want to thank you so much for being with us today. and sharing your insights on
long overdue. Long overdue.
Yeah, absolutely. We have to have you back on at some point in the future. And listen, have a great weekend and happy fatherhood. I know, you know, you're about a year into it now. We were talking about that before the program started. So just enjoy. And I hope to see you in person at some of the conferences that are now starting to take place again.
We will be back on the road coming this fall at a handful of events. I'm sure we'll catch each other soon.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you.